Hello, hello, and welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. I am Brandon Lynette, your favorite podcast host and mindset coach. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore that transformative power of stepping into greatness. I want to help you come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts. I want you to unleash your soul and learn to co-create a life that you love. As I help you become the writer of your own story in this podcast, you're going to find the inspiration, practical tips, and sometimes abrasive nudge to take a leap of faith. But buckle up, you're in the right place. Okay, let's unleash your inner badass. If you want to change your life, make sure you scroll the show notes and pick your path. Okay, coaching, books, biohacks, do not wait. You need to move. Hello, everyone. This is going to be, I haven't really decided if this is going to be a double show or if I'm going to do a separate recording for the podcast. But either way, my TikTok live doesn't stay up. My Facebook lives get deleted. So for good measure, we're going to go ahead and record this as it would be a podcast. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in tonight. I honestly came on here with the mindset all day. I was set on what I was going to talk about because, while most of you know, I have a brand new podcast called The Boiling Point, Faith and Fire. I do get a little political, a lot political. It's about politics, faith and politics. Okay, because at some point they do mix. Gets a little mashup there. But I do this podcast. But while I'm taking my notes for what I think is important to bring onto the show tomorrow, I'm seeing this stuff, and today I actually did get pissed off. Most of the time I don't, like, I'm good. I'm easy about this. Like, it doesn't weigh on me, but today it's really not making sense to me how grown adults can hold up signs with guillotines and heads at the bottom wearing MAGA hats, and how people can mock death or wish death on people, like adults just getting away with this stuff. There's a video I watched today when I was doing my research. This guy has a microphone and he's in the No Kings protest. He's doing this, and cheers to all the MAGA people, all the Trump supporters that were out there. That was a pretty even amount of protesting in a lot of places from the real footage I've seen. Okay, don't believe the MSNBC rhetoric BS about what really happened out there. But anyway, I watched this guy in this video, and he's literally telling people that everybody in the crowd to go get guns and to start shooting ICE agents. And so that kind of pissed me off. It really pissed me off, actually, because they're going to threaten that kind of violence, and this is the party that has proven that they're very violent. It's the party of violence. It's the party of evil. I get that, okay? But what terrifies me is that how do you expect, if I'm an ICE agent and I hear people out here talking about they're gonna just start shooting me, I'm probably gonna be a little bit on edge. I'm probably gonna be pretty fucking aggressive. Like, I'm not gonna take shit, okay? 'Cause like, what happened? What happened to this point where we respect authority, right? I don't care if the cops come to my door and I have no clue what's going on, and I get arrested, I'm going to comply, right? Because that's going to bring everything down. I'm not going to make it heated and scream and be like, what did I do? When knowingly, honest to God, if they came to my door right now, I've not broken any laws. I would just comply because that's just what you do. Once you get to the police station, you figure stuff out, we get to the bottom of it, right? We de-escalate the situation. But people threatening these guys, my daughter's boyfriend is in law enforcement, and I think if they're making a video that they're just going to start shooting cops, like, I would expect him to have his hand on the trigger for every situation. That's not going to be good. Like, how are these people getting away with this? And so I came on here really expecting to like chew everybody's ass, right? I'm like pissed off, and I'm gonna hold people accountable, whatever that looks like. Okay, I was gonna come on here. One of my friends, right, could obviously tell I'm pissed, and I'm saying things on my Facebook page, and she's like, I'm gonna pray for you. And I was like, okay, thanks. I always could use it. Please, you guys pray for me because I am neck deep trying to get right with Jesus. So I could use all the prayers I can get because I don't know shit. Okay. But I do know that the world is stuck on this idea of calling evil good, and it's very frustrating. So I came out here super angry. And it's funny because I do Bible study for a badass every day. I'm reading the Bible to my kids. I care about this. I think it's important. Like, that's the only weapon I have against evil, right? Is to drown myself in the word, to cover myself up with what the Bible says. That's the only thing I can trust, because you can't trust people in politics. You can't trust people sometimes in general. So all I have, it's all I have. Okay. It's the only foundation I have. And it's everything I'm building on. Like, I'm standing on that book, like my life depends on it. And I come out here to write my bullet points for the show. And wow. You guys have to stay tuned. So even if I get kicked off this live or the Facebook video disappears, you guys can find the full episode to this on the Listen Bitch podcast. Apple or Spotify is where you can hear me. So please make sure you at least catch the end of this. Okay. But honestly, like, we're living in a time where people are cheering for what used to make people cry. And crying over things that used to make them cheer. It's so upside down. And when I see these adults mocking death, when I see this crowd just mocking violence, calling violence to people who serve, and there's a standing ovation and people are cheering. Yes, there's a teacher that got fired today for mocking Charlie Kirk's death. Good, because she's a teacher. My kids are not going to see me mocking anybody's death. It's just not going to happen. And I'm calling for, you know, absolutely, I want capital punishment again. I want murderers to be hung in the streets where it's going to send a message. I want pedophiles put in a wood chipper, but that shit's still going to make me sick. It's going to make me sick, because the person that they killed or the child that they violated, they live with that forever. So is there a little bit of justice that that person can't hurt anyone again? Yeah, but it's still death, and my kids are not going to see me cheering for that. It should be a somber moment for everyone, you know, a fuck around and find out kind of moment. Like, this is what it is now. We're not just watching culture shift right now. Like, we're watching Isaiah come out in real time. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. How is this possible? And that's the question that I'm asking myself. That's what I prayed about before I started this. Like, how is this possible? Because it hurts my brain to think, like, how could people be so fucking evil and disgusting? Like, we can't even talk about our beliefs without the tantrums, without the name calling, without the call to violence, without actual violence. And this is the thing, my homie Paul, you guys, I talk about him a lot because he is my favorite. Okay. But like, he warned us about people whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. And this is kind of how I feel like it works. There is a progression. Like, you have this first exposure, something shocks us. We feel convicted, we feel uncomfortable, we feel disturbed, and we have that repeated exposure. What do we have access to 24/7? All the shit that we have no business seeing all the time. We should, even my father-in-law, he's here for family day yesterday, we're eating dinner, and he's like, we have access to everything all the time. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. But we have this repeated exposure. We see it again and again, and it becomes familiar. And then that's what we have, the normalization, right? This is where everything that once horrified us now just exists, and we just scroll past it. Then we have the participation. We don't just tolerate it. We excuse it. We defend it. We join it. And then there's the celebration. We mock those who still feel convicted about it. When adults mock death, they have reached stage 5. Their conscience is not just compromised. It is cauterized. They literally can't feel the moral heat anymore. And when people reject God persistently, I believe it's Romans, and you guys can correct me, because again, I'm a newbie. I don't know shit, but I'm pretty confident that this is in Romans. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. And this isn't God being cruel. It's God honoring human choice at its ultimate conclusion. When a society says, we don't want your truth, God is going to eventually say, all right, have it your way. So then what follows? What is happening to these people? They're becoming filled with every kind of wickedness. That's in the book too. They not only do these things, but they approve of those who practice them. And the last part, I mean, that's where we all are. It's not enough to sin privately anymore. Now there's a demand for public approval. There's a demand for celebration. There's a demand for participation. So now we have this tribal mentality. So tribal morality is replacing the absolute fucking truth. And this is the shift. People are no longer asking, is this right or wrong? It's literally, is this person on my side? And now someone on their team calls for violence, they're going to justify it. They're going to minimize it. They're going to ignore it. When someone on their team mocks death, they're going to call it righteous anger. They're going to call it speaking the truth. If someone on their team targets law enforcement, they're going to frame it as fighting oppression. That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. And then morality becomes situational. Evil is whatever they do. It's whatever they do. And it is not both sides. Unfortunately, this is ancient. This has happened. This is humanity without God's law written on our hearts. This is just a raw loyalty to the pack. And that is where they are at right now. There is an absence of the fear of God. No fear of God before their eyes. When people stop believing that they're going to answer to God, if that is not a part of your consciousness when you wake up, when you're making decisions, when you're doing things in this life, if you don't have a question of like, I have to answer to him, everything becomes permissible and you will be able to rationalize it. If there's no final judgment, then there is no ultimate justice for these people. If there's no eternal consequence, then the only consequences that matter are the ones that they're facing now. So if they don't think God is watching, morality is just a social construct we can rewrite. Baby, I have four cameras. What camera? I have four cameras. You have to tell me which one. I don't know. What? Probably the Facebook one. I don't know. Adults mock death because they don't believe death means standing before a judge. That's it. They call for violence because they don't fear that divine wrath. They celebrate evil because they've stopped believing in a standard outside of themselves. And so this is our response. This is our response because we are literally, what do we know? This is what I know to be true, is that God won the battle. Like, he won the battle. Okay, but we are called to hold the line, and we're called to hold the line without losing love. And I felt that today. When I came on here, I felt that today. I'm like, man, I just am so, it's just a disgust for humanity. Like, I'm losing love and compassion for humanity. I'm just thinking it's so disgusting. Like, it's vile to me. It's vile to me. We have to hold the line without losing love. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That is our job. We are to expose them and tell the truth every single day. Expose them and stop being quiet. You don't get to be silent and you don't get to nod along. And if you are a Christian and you are supporting these mockeries, this call for murder, the call for violence, I think you need to rethink things. Because I don't know a lot, but I know that isn't a Christian. I know there is no way that you can be party to that party of evil and be able to think God is standing with you. You cannot be complicit. You can't normalize this with quiet acceptance. That's where we fucked up so long ago, is that we were quiet because we didn't want to rock the boat. We wanted people to have a chance to do what they were going to do, and they showed us who they were, and now it's time to believe them. It is time to believe them. So stop normalizing this by being quiet, because quiet is complicity. Mocking death is evil. Calling for violence against law enforcement is evil. Celebrating harm against image bearers of God is evil. And that doesn't have to be mean. It's just calling the truth for what the truth is. You don't even have to be loud. I know I'm probably starting to yell. You just have to be clear. Paul, my homie, that slaughtered Christians. You guys know he had great sorrow and unceasing anguish for everybody that rejected God. It physically hurt him. The grief is what keeps you human. It should bother us. It should continue to bother us that this evil is out there. The grief keeps you human, and it keeps you from becoming what you oppose. We have to protect our hearts. Everything we do has to flow from our hearts. We have to protect it. And constant exposure to evil has a cost. You can't marinate in this toxic environment and expect to stay healthy. You just can't. So absolutely, absolutely, we cannot be looking for every single thing that's going to piss us off. You can't let your algorithm train you to hate. I am telling you guys, and I'm telling you this from someone who has three podcasts, who works on social media. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least 9 social media accounts that I run right now, my own shit that I'm running myself, that I run. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, you have to spend more time in scripture than on social media. You have to. And you have to remember that your anger at evil should drive you to prayer, not just straight to posting. And that's coming from someone who literally just posted from a space of being pissed off, you know? And we are called to be merciful to those who doubt, people that are not believing. We save other people by snatching them from the fire. You want to know how many conversations I've had with people since I blew up my Facebook page with my political stance? I've had so many people come to me and say they get what I'm saying. Like people that were totally backing the party of hate. Totally backing them and very against everything I had to say. And it just took a couple weeks of me sh talking about the truth. That is what we're called to do. Talking about the truth to start getting these messages that come in of people like understanding, like, I totally see what you're seeing. I get it. This isn't real. The media's brainwashed you. That's it. It's a copy and paste script they have, and it has been a very evil plan that has been in the works for years. This didn't just start yesterday. You understand everything they've been done and everything they do is for the intention of brainwashing you, for manipulating things to serve their purpose, not to serve God, because I promise you, they, whoever they are, they don't serve God. The person mocking death, they are enslaved. The person calling for violence, they are blind. And our job is not to destroy them, but we can continue to speak the truth. And we can hope that they wake up before it's too late. That's not weakness. That's warfare. That's fighting for their soul, not just winning an argument. We're not called to take revenge. And I think that's why we're still the party of peace, because that's just not who we are. We know that this will come down to God's wrath, and you don't have to make people pay. You don't have to ensure that they get what's coming to them. God has that. Your job, stand, speak, love, pray. God's job, you guys, judge, avenge, restore, reign. That's it. We aren't called to be popular. I've lost more followers, I think, than I have ever had friends. We are not called to be popular. We are not called to fit in. No matter how many people might have changed their minds here, might have had a second thought about the party of hate, the party of evil, might have come back to their senses, I still get the hate messages. We're not called to fit in. We're not even called to win every battle. We're called to be faithful and to hold the line, to speak the truth and love your enemies. And don't get me wrong on this. Loving your enemies does not mean we become party to the evil. We just have to trust that the real king is coming. When the world calls evil good, we can't panic. We don't retreat. We don't compromise. You guys, you know the world has done this before. I mean, they've done it before. It's repeated in time over and over. Not to the level of what Jesus went through, but it's happened over and over. How many times has the world called Jesus evil and crucified him? It happens. 3 days later, he walked out of the grave and he proved that God's definition of good and evil is the only one that survives. Hold the fucking line. Hold the line. And the seriously. One of the questions that keeps me up at night, and it does, because I'm just like, how is this possible? I see the feed and I ask and I ask and I ask. What are we called to do when we are facing these soulless people? What are we called to do? Because there's a lot of them that have truly lost their soul. They have crossed a line where there is no return. So what is the point? Why speak? Why pray? Why not just give up on them? And guess what? You know where the answer is? The Bible. Imagine that. Shocker. You knew I was going to say that. The hard truth is there is a point of no return. That's in Hebrews. That we're actually we actually are reading that this week with my girlies. There is a point of no return. It is impossible for people who have once been enlightened, if they fall away, they cannot be brought back to repentance. They cannot. There are people given over. God gave them over to a depraved mind. There is an unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, a complete and final rejection of God's work. And nothing speaks blasphemy like everything that is being called with this party of evil. Nothing. There are those that cannot be saved. They perish because they refuse to love the truth. God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. So, yeah, the Bible acknowledges that some people harden beyond saving. That's it. But this is the thing. We may not always know every single person that is lost to that. And that kind of changes everything. That means that I can't just cut the world off and be done and divide myself from this. We can't see the soul. Like, we could see their mockery. We could see their evil celebration. We can see the hardened heart. But what we cannot see is their final state or stage before the breakthrough. We can't see that. And I see a lot of people that are like, I am Charlie Kirk. Like, I see this group, right? And it's a very sweet group. I've scoured through the pages. I've seen a lot of people in this group where they're like, I am Charlie Kirk. I am Charlie Kirk. Y'all, if we're really going to take on someone like Charlie Kirk, he stood in front of these heartless, soulless people every day and stood his ground in the truth. And I know after his death, I know a lot of people changed their stance and came to Christ because of him. So if you're really going to be him, that means like we can't shut down on them. And today I literally put it in a post. I'm like, get the fuck off my page, block me. We're not friends. I'm disgusted. Like, how could you, the human in me? Okay. And then God's like, yeah, B, that sounds great, but you can't keep that stance. Like, it was a cool moment of emotion. I shouldn't have posted it. I shouldn't have said that. And it's there. It's on the internet. It's forever. It's whatever. I guess this is my apology. I'm not going to harden my heart to that, because I am inspired by someone like Charlie Kirk, who can stand in the truth with people that make no sense, who can hold his ground with people that celebrate evil. We cannot see what their breakthrough is. And God, you guys, God is full of surprises. I mean, we've got a lot of things that have happened in the Bible and how much he has changed people. You know, number one, I went pretty far off my rocker. If you guys listened to my podcast last week, I went pretty far off my rocker, and I feel it. God welcomed me back. I may not get another chance. Saul, before he became Paul, dragging Christians to their death. You read this, he was soulless. And then Jesus met him on Damascus. What about Manasseh, who sacrificed his own children, filled Jerusalem with innocent blood to slaughter people, led Judah into witchcraft? Literally, in Chronicles, called him the most evil king ever. He repented in chains, and God restored him. And the thief on the cross mocked Jesus hours before he believed. Hours. He looked lost and he wasn't. You do not know who's on their Damascus road right now. You do not know. So what are we called to do? Obviously, keep proclaiming the truth. That's it, even if it seems futile, and sometimes it does. It seems like my brain all week, I've just been like, I can't even talk to you people. I can't even have a conversation with you. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted of this conversation, because every time you open your mouth, it's just a repeated sentence of MSNBC. It's a repeated, you know, it's just bullshit. I can't do it. That's what I said. And today God's like, yes, you can and you will. You have to speak God's words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, because they're rebellious. Your job isn't contingent on their responses. You guys understand, we are just called to obedience. So speak the truth to the soulless. Absolutely. What if they mock you? And they mock me often and a lot and patronize me. Yes, keep doing it. Even if nothing changes. Nothing changes, Brandon. You keep coming on here. You keep speaking the truth. People keep calling you names. You're an abomination. You're a racist. You're whatever. Yes, you keep speaking the truth. Because at the end of the day, I messed up. I'm thinking they need to hear this. And I thought I had to do this for them. I'm not doing it for them. You're going to be doing this for God. Your faithfulness is never going to be measured by someone's repentance. It's not. You're testifying for the record, so on judgment day, no one could say, no one warned me. You keep talking. And that's how we hold people accountable, because you talk about Jesus and very clear about your stance on what's biblical and what's not and what we're called to do in the United States of America, the greatest country ever. What are we called to do? Hold the line. A foundation built on Christianity. Hold the line. We tell people about Jesus. They can't get away with it anymore. Because once they get up there, they're going to be like, ooh, no. Because I remember you used to argue with Brandon on Facebook all day, and she just kept saying, but Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus. She told you over and over, and you didn't listen. Sorry. You're doing this for God. Judgment day. You're also going to have to answer to the fact that you never talked about it. You were silent. You watched the world turn upside down and people celebrated evil and you kept your mouth shut. You think you're not going to be held accountable for that? You are. You absolutely are. Well, I just want peace and love and I can't deal with all this stuff. Oh, it's too much for me. Yeah, you'll be held accountable for that. Nothing is too much for God, and everything you do should be for him, through him. So nothing should scare you. And we're not chasing people down. We're not begging them to listen. But when you're put in the moment, you speak. You speak. And yes, absolutely, pray for people. But you can shift how you pray, because there is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. And John even acknowledges, you know, some sins are final. Prayer may not be the assignment anymore. But like, you can't stop praying because you know they're beyond hope. You don't know. You stop praying when God releases you from the burden. When he says, all right, that's, your work is done. Until then, pray, but pray differently. It's not about, you know, God changed their heart. If he's released them, he's released them. And I think, you know, if he's released them, that's him. And it's a matter of like, today I really felt this. I felt this like I've never felt it, because I love people. I have loved people my whole life. I've wanted to help people my whole life. I love people. Anybody on the street, I'm going to help you. You're in a house fire and I'm standing right there and I know I can do something. I'm going to run in your house and I'm going to do whatever I can to help you. I've always helped people. So I'm at the point where I'm balancing this wanting to help people and being really torn with the evil that I see. So this now, the prayer now that's really put on my heart is like, God, if there is any crack left in their soul breakthrough, there's a prayer of just like, restrain the damage they do to other people. Let their evil not prosper. Protect the vulnerable from them. And then absolutely, you know, there's a matter of praying for that wisdom to know when to speak and to know when to step back, or to know what to say when you speak. I promise I did not plan on saying this today. It was just going to be a full on. I was about to tell you guys off. Silence is complicity. We're called to protect the vulnerable. Even if they're lost, other people are watching. If you don't warn people that Jesus is coming, he's going to hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn them and they do not turn, Even if they're lost, others are watching. Teenagers right now are watching adults mock death. Kids are watching this. Like, we don't have enough violence in kids with the toxic families that they're being raised by. Like, we don't have enough of that. They're watching these adults mock death and they're learning that cruelty is acceptable. Young believers are watching silence from Christians. They're watching people be complicit and they're learning that maybe the truth doesn't matter. And weak people who just want to be a part of something are watching evil be celebrated and they're feeling emboldened to join in. Your voice is not just for the soulless, it is for everyone in an earshot. When you call out evil, you are teaching the next generation what righteousness looks like. You are giving cover to other believers who feel alone, and you're drawing a line that protects the vulnerable from being swept into the darkness. Separate from them, but not in hate. This was the key message for me tonight. Separate from them, but not in hate. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed, but do regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. If someone is celebrating evil, if someone is calling for violence, if someone is mocking death and they claim to be a Christian, disassociate. If someone is calling for it to be okay to murder babies or to mutilate bodies or to mutilate children's bodies, disassociate. Am I clear? If people are saying, start shooting law enforcement, disassociate. If people are making signs to protest and they're making a mockery of death, disassociate. And it's not to punish, but it's to protect. Protect your soul and shock them into awareness. Boundaries matter. You don't give them a platform. And you guys don't get to endorse them by silence. And you don't pretend unity exists when there's a celebration of evil. You cannot continue to say that unity exists. It does not. We cannot coexist with the evil. Even in separation, you guys, we're not going to curse them. We're not going to wish harm on them. And we're going to hold the door open just in case. Just in case. We have to trust God's judgment, and that has to be something that can free us. So we cannot, it's the Bible says, like, do not fret because of those who are evil. Can't worry about that. For like the grass, they will soon wither. You don't have to fix them. You don't have to win. You don't have to make them pay. If they have lost their soul, God knows and He will handle it perfectly. Your job is not to be God. My job is not to be God. Our job is to be fruitful in our lane. That means we speak when led, we pray when burdened, and we rest when released. God's justice doesn't need our anxiety to fuel it. Are we wasting our time praying for them? Are we wasting our time talking? My question to myself, am I wasting my time every time I open my mouth here because I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall every time there is someone coming at me with the same stuff? Am I wasting my time? The answer to that is no. Nothing you do in the foundation of God is going to be a waste of time. You guys have to keep doing what you're called to do until God releases you. If you are feeling a burden right now to speak, you need to speak. If you are feeling the pull to pray, you need to pray. If you feel like you're being released, drop it without the guilt. You are not responsible for anybody's soul. You're responsible for your obedience. And the truth is, like, this is the mystery, right? Sometimes your obedience is the last thread holding their soul to any chance of rescue. You may never know which conversation was the seed. You may never see the harvest, but God does. So I'm telling you, speak. Silence is complicity. Pray, love, guard, trust. And when you've done all you can, then you stand, because even if they never change, you're going to stand before God having been faithful. And that, my friend, is going to be enough. That's going to be enough. I love you guys. Make sure you share this episode on Apple or Spotify. It is on YouTube as well. Okay. The Facebook video deletes TikTok. Obviously, the minute I hang up on both of these accounts, it's going to it's going to stop and it doesn't save. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. You can share the Facebook video as long as it's live. And yeah, the podcast, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, it's always going to be there. So I love you guys.